Blog Talk Radio.
Almost live from somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee. Regime Entertainment presents It's Not Me, It's You, the show where the good, the bad, and the ugly of relationships are discussed from both genders' point of view. And now, here's your host, John.
Hey guys, welcome to It's Not Me, It's You, a very special episode. Well, every episode is special on this show. Thursday night, it's a beautiful spring day in Nashville, Tennessee, so we welcome you to the show tonight. Very special guest, a very good friend of mine. We were just debating on how long we've known each other. We decided on 5 years. We're going to talk about her book here shortly, but as normal, we're going to get started with some music and kind of an appropriate song title for Miss Holly's book. Her book is titled Chick Flicks Lie. We're going to talk about that shortly, but here's Jimmy White with The Story of My Life.
I wanna make your morning coffee, even learn to scramble eggs, and cut my face because you used my razor on your legs. And when the cop tells me to move, I'll say I'm waiting for my wife. I want you to write the story of my life. I wanna buy your girly stuff, embarrassed at the store, and take you on a date and wait for you and pull the door. And when the guys say let's go out, I'll say I'll check it with my wife. I want you to write the story of my life. I've been looking all my life, always on my own, but in your eyes I found the only truth I've ever known. Everything I ever wanted, it's right here in your smile. Without you I'm an inch, but with you I'm a mile. Off your feet. And when they ask where's this couch go, I'll say I have to ask my wife. I want you to write the story of my life. I want you to write the story of my life. I want you to write the story of my life.
That was Jimmy White with The Story of My Life, and we'll hear that again at the end of the night. So for the next hour or so, we are going to talk to Miss Holly Tong. Holly, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
We've been working on that greeting all afternoon, and hey is what we came out with. So Holly is the author of a new book coming out later this month called Chick Flicks Lie, Sugar-Free Accounts of a Positive Pessimist. That's a lot of puh in there, and a lot of good. I read a couple of pieces of the book, and it's really funny. And I want to ask you first off two things. One, why did you decide to write the book? And B, why did you decide to title it what you did?
Well, I decided to write the book because, I mean, obviously, as a writer, I like to put my thoughts down on paper. It's just kind of part of who I am. But as a late 20s girl, the dating world's been really, really interesting to me, to say the least. So I've had a lot of funny stories. My friends have had a lot of funny stories, and I've learned a thing or two along the way. But in the end, I've still not got it figured out. And I really think that most people don't nowadays. And so I wanted to write something relatable, not a how-to book. There's a million of those out there.
Nobody knows how to do it, or divorce rates wouldn't be 50%.
Yeah.
We'd all be married, right?
There's all these books about this is how you do it, this is how it goes. And I thought, you know, I want something where people can just laugh along and say, oh, my gosh, that's happened to me. You know, that kind of thing. I just want people to feel understood, even if they can't figure it out. So I thought, you know, there was one day I thought, maybe I should write a book. And so I did. And that's kind of what happened. I worked on it for probably 5 years. The title, I was inspired by that because watching movies, I think every girl loves a chick flick. You know, they go through a heartbreak or something, and the first thing they do is they pop in a chick flick. And what's it do? It gives us unrealistic hope. And so my thought was, you know, chick flicks lie. He doesn't chase the plane down the tarmac. He doesn't come sing on your doorstep. You know, sometimes that relationship really ends. And Sugar-Free Accounts of a Positive Pessimist for the subtitle, I'm just a very, I'm a sugar-free girl. And I like to give it to people straight. And so my book, I'm just very honest. And that's kind of how it all happened. So
sounds scary, actually, a little bit, doesn't it? But it is pretty funny. And, you know, so we want to give it some, you know, kind of go through a little bit and talk a little bit more about it. So now you formatted the book itself a little bit different than most books.
Yes.
Okay, you did sections. Explain mm-hmm. that and how you did all that, why you did all that.
Well, I feel like the dating world today is so jumbled up, so confusing, so all over the place, disorganized. And so I thought, you know, I'm not going to worry about my book being all straight-laced and organized. I'm going to kind of make it jumbled up and slightly messy like the dating world is. And so what I did is I came up with 5 sections, and I won't get too much into what each section's about, but we start out by going through 20 chick flick lies, you know, just common things you see in movies that don't happen in real life. Section 2, I do something really unique. I go away from – I actually have the reader become a character that I made up, and her name's Leah Gardowski. And the way that I kind of came up with her was I kind of – I just wanted to come up with a universal girl that everybody could relate to. And so, you know, some things that happened to her may have happened to me, but a lot of them didn't. I kind of got inspiration from different places. And
that's what friends are for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not Leah, just to clear up any confusion on that. and then section 3, 4, and 5, I kind of go back to speaking from my own perspective. But in section 3, we go over universal relationship struggles and million-dollar questions, just kind of the typical struggles that people are going through today, just kind of the things that people don't get, the all the little conversation circles, mm-hmm. all the things you hear. I kind of go over that. And then section 4 is decoding the male species.
Oh, and we're going to talk about that a little bit while the male species is sitting right here. So we are going to talk about that a little bit, okay?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't promise to know everything about a male, but there's certain things I've picked up on. There are certain things that a guy says that usually means something different than what they say. Mm-hmm. I've picked up on some things.
We're going to talk about that, so we can kind of, we'll see how accurate she is, okay?
And then section 5, I kind of get into the hope that a positive pessimist can have. And throughout the book, faith is tied into it. But my main thing is laugh and have fun and just keep the faith and don't take yourself too seriously. So it's just kind of all laid out.
Well, and that's kind of, you know, that's my philosophy in all of life, all parts of life. Don't take yourself too seriously and have fun and, you know, enjoy and good things will happen. So do you want to start with the decoding? And a little bit there, you just want to jump right into that and see how that's working out?
We won't give out too many tidbits of the book.
We want you to go out and get it when it becomes available. We're not going to do that, but we might elaborate a little bit on some pieces, and we might start, you know, your sequel now might be in the works here with what we talked about tonight.
Yes, I've thought about my sequel already. But I'm tired. I need a break.
If you look at the look on her face when I said that, it's like, oh, no, not
a sequel.
It's because
I've already thought about
it. All right, let's decode the male species, as you say it. And talk about a little bit about that and what you, you know, how you approach that that section.
Well, although, of course, I admit that, you know, no one's going to be able to figure out everything that a male is thinking, and there are exceptions. But one of the most common things I've noticed in a male, and you'll read this in the book, is a lot of guys, when they're going to break up with a girl, they'll say the classic, I'm not ready for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I laid it out is the girl usually hears, oh, he's just not ready, but he will be soon. That's what a typical woman, I think, hears. I've had these conversations with friends. But 9 times out of 10, what he actually means is he doesn't want a relationship with you.
That's exactly
and
right.
I've learned that. And I think that's a struggle that a lot of women don't realize right away. And then he goes out and he gets with this other girl. Then he's married in no time flat. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what did that mean? And so that's what I mean kind of by decoding. When he says certain things, he might not give you the real reason for the breakup, but you've got to read between the lines.
Right.
So that's just a small example of what that section's about.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, and it depends on the age of the woman and the maturity of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Women in their 20s are like, you know, yeah, he should be with me because I'm the greatest thing ever. You know, as women mature and get older and get more life experience and have been maybe married before and then divorced and all that, it's like, screw you, go on, you know,
right.
Who needs you, right? But I think women in their 20s, when they get that, they think that they are the best person for that guy at that particular time.
Yeah.
And that's fine. There's that self-confidence, that self-esteem. There's nothing wrong with that. But you only get... hopefully, well, most people only get one.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And it's just not the one.
Yeah.
So where I think you have to, as you say, read between the lines, maybe men and women both can do a better job of just being a little more front. You know what? You know, you're a great woman, but you're just not the right one for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very hurtful.
No.
You know? It's not like, okay, you're a great woman, but your nose is too big and your feet, you know, slap together when you walk and whatever. And it means more hurtful things like that.
Be a little more straight up.
Straight up.
They think they're not hurting you, but they are later.
Be nice about it. Yeah.
The woman then is like, why did he go with that girl instead? It's confusing to a woman. I think it's just better to say it straight up because she's probably going to be a little hurt either way.
Sure.
But honesty goes a long way.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not sure about it, you know, cut it loose.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's probably a timing issue or something like that, but there's no reason to have mystery. There shouldn't be any mystery and shouldn't be any game playing. And that's what it amounts to is game playing. And we're going to turn around, the guys are, and say the same thing about y'all.
Yeah.
So let's flip the book around. I wrote this book called, well, I can't say a chick flick slide because it, but, you know, Sugar Full Accounts of the Negative Optimist. How about that? You like that? So,
only you, John.
I know, only me, right? So I'm going to go write a book. But, you know, I mean, it's the same thing in return. You all need to be a little bit more upfront with us if you don't want to date us.
I agree.
But we're talking about your book, not mine, so we'll continue. But,
no, you're right.
There's a lot of decoding of each gender that needs to happen. And if you call it decoding or understanding or lack thereof of any other, I think, you know, it goes both ways for sure.
Yeah. And that's something that I actually kind of address in the book is, it's, like I've said before, this is not a male-bashing book. So I do blame women, too. I
Good.
Mean, obviously, I wrote it from the perspective of a woman.
Yeah.
So it may appeal to girls just a little bit faster. But it's actually, I do kind of talk to both genders as much as possible because I realize women are to blame for a lot of things, too. We confuse each other.
Right.
So it's not all the male species' fault.
Hallelujah. We've had a breakthrough here today, folks, and we're only 15 minutes into the show. That's awesome. Okay, so have anything else that needs to be decoded? Or is that, you know?
Well, one of the things I talked about was guys say the classic, you're so amazing. I cannot wait to meet the man that marries you. And they'll say that kind of thing when they break up. And it's like, now, wait a minute. If you were really so amazing, why would they break up with you? You know what I'm saying? It just feels like another sugar-coated excuse. Like, if you watch The Bachelor, that was an example I used.
Carlos? Or what was his name?
Juan Pablo,
whatever his name is, yeah.
But on almost every season, when the woman leaves and she's crying in the limo, it's always the classic, everybody always tells me I'm so amazing, but why is nothing working out? Why can't somebody just show me that I'm amazing instead of tell me? You hear almost that same thing almost every time. And, you know, there are beautiful women walking away, but there's something the guy's not saying.
Right.
So if she was really out of this world amazing, she would be his girl. And so I kind of get into that a little bit. And,
okay.
You know.
And that's an interesting thought because, I mean, there's a lot of amazing women out there, but they're not, you know, the one.
Right.
Or they're not, you know, at least the one right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you say, you know, you're looking for Mr. Right or Mr. Right Now, whichever one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but no, I think there's a lot of amazing people out there, but it's whether or not there's compatibility. Because you know what? The guy might not be that amazing. If you put amazing with not so amazing, you get mundane. Right? What do you think?
So you mean he could think she's better than him? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, okay.
Do you ever
99 times out of 100, I'm going to go that far. 99% of men overmarry. They marry above their, and they'll admit it most of the time.
But I'm saying they wouldn't break up with a girl because she was over them, like she was better than them.
Not really.
That's how some guys sugarcoat.
Well, that's their self-esteem issue too,
yeah.
though. You know, and they maybe sugarcoat it to make her feel better about the breakup. And, you know, because we have no emotion. We're just robots, you know. we don't want to make a woman cry. That's our goal. We don't want to make you cry. You know, we don't want to make you emotional. We don't want to make you hate them because we're probably fearful of our lives at some point, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's some very vindictive, angry women out there that can do very bad things to us. But
I'll agree with that. I mean,
you know, but yeah, I mean,
there's some crazy people.
There's some great people out there. But so I think it's just, you know, we want to soften. I mean, nobody likes hurting anybody. Y'all don't like hurting us. We don't like hurting you.
Right.
You know, we don't like hurting our friends, you know, our family or anything like that. But, you know, the worst thing that happens is when you break up with somebody is to watch them cry.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, especially hysterically, because, you know, I mean, the chick flicks all have it. Say, you know, the woman goes back to her place, gets her best friends together. They munch out on gallons and gallons of Haagen-Dazs and watch more chick flicks. And, you know, until they're over it and they're brushing each other's hair and all that, you know. And you're so pretty. You're so pretty.
But painting each other's nails.
Well, you know, guys go to a bar and we drink, you know, we drink beer and we talk manly sports stuff. And, you know, we're fine.
Yeah.
So it's just how you handle it. But you know, we don't want to make you cry. We don't like to make you cry.
Well, my point is she will cry later when that guy didn't tell the truth and he moved on to marry somebody else right away.
Agreed.
That's kind of my point is, like, just let her cry at the beginning. Don't make her cry, like, 6 months later or whatever.
Well, I mean, do you think, okay, let's put you in a hypothetical situation. We're going to put you in a hypothetical situation, okay? This guy that you likes, that you like, decides to not pursue a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
6 months later, he is marrying somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you react if he was up front with you in the beginning? At the end, or up front with you about ending it? Do you still get upset that he's marrying somebody else, even though he was up front with you, like you said?
I mean, it always maybe kind of sucks if you watch somebody get married that quick. But the reality of it is, I'd have to tell myself, okay, he told me 6 months ago that I was not the one for him.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he's marrying who is the one for him. Now, if he had told me, you know, it's a timing issue or, you know, something stupid like that, like it's a timing issue. I don't think right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because maybe in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, well, is it a timing issue? You know, is he going to, if I really liked him, I might think about a little bit of that 6 months. Whereas if he had just been honest, I'm going to just tell myself, you know what, forget about it.
Yeah, but either way.
But I'm going to move on either way.
But either way, it ends up he just going to marry you. It's how you resolve that internally.
Right.
Right?
I just think honesty is a good thing, though. I appreciate it, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So, yeah, we're getting into much deeper stuff than we planned on.
We
have two sequels in here. Okay, another section that you wrote about that I looked at briefly was with Leah. Talk a little bit about Leah and why you decided to do Leah.
Well,
I don't mean to do Leah. I mean, you know, write about Leah.
The reason I did that is because, like I said, I wanted to create a character that all women could kind of relate with. And Leah is a girl that, and I say this in the preface, she's a good girl. She wanted to write a book that out to be this girl that she does date a lot and it doesn't end well. She maybe does have a thing for bad boys and it doesn't end well. But I kind of just wanted to create somebody who went through a bunch that people could relate to. And I just felt like she was the girl, it was named, and so I just kind of had everybody she's in the emergency, but I mean, we'll find all that out. But it's kind of showing the life of a dater all the way from a teenager to what that kind of looks like for some people. If they don't have the right.
What did you draw on to for those experiences?
Well, of course, like admittedly, I did draw on some of my own experiences, but I definitely did not use any real names, and I changed it up. I mean, it twisted and turned around. I took stuff from friends. I spliced into this from this happening in my life to that happening in my friends to I just created stuff. I was like, ooh, that sounds like a good scenario.
Yeah.
So I just played around with it. And, I mean, I've been through some crazy experiences. In fact, I've been through crazier than what's in the book. But it's like I said, I didn't want to get way too personal in my own life. I've just always been a little bit personal, so writing a book like this was kind of scary for me. So I created Leah instead of talking completely from my perspective for that section.
And I guess the question is, why?
Why did I want to talk to you from me?
Yeah.
I believe in privacy. I mean, from knowing me, John.
That's all gone now.
Well, I still feel like I have a level that, I mean, from knowing me, though, John, like, how often have you seen me in a Facebook official relationship? Now, you personally know some of the relationships I've had, but maybe not everybody around town does.
Okay.
You know, you're a friend of mine.
Right.
And so I keep that stuff kind of personal. I mean, you know how the 6 degrees of separation is.
It's 1 degree here.
Yeah. I don't like to announce to the world that I've got something going on with this guy if we're not going to pan out. So I have a lot of dates and things here and there that people never know about.
Right.
And I like it that way.
Okay.
I've been kind of always personal my whole life. And, this has caused me to open up a little bit. So it was
and
scary
I'm very
for
proud
me.
Of you for
and
that,
it's still scary for me.
Yeah.
But, I didn't want to – and at the end of it, I still want to date somebody someday. I still like to get married someday. I don't want to be the girl that just puts all of, everything out there. Because I don't want a guy to ever think that he's going to end up in my next novel or song.
Yeah, we're going to. And you are a songwriter, as people may know, a model, an actress, now a book writer, an author.
Yeah.
I forget.
Legal assistant.
Publicist. Yeah, so not a whole lot of time anyway. But,
exactly. So
I think we all have that problem right now that, it's a time issue, not timing with time.
Right.
But, do you address that in the book at all, time and timing?
When I talk about timing, I talk more about I think people feel the pressure of time sometimes. I think that they're looking at their clock and they're thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm about to be 30. And I think
tick,
women,
tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, and I think women, we kind of get to a point where we're like, oh, my gosh, do I want to have kids? I think I do, with high-risk pregnancy at 36. I think women start thinking that way. And it's hard not to think that way because I don't think a guy has some of the pressures that women have.
We can father at age 70.
Exactly. I mean, you think about things like that. But I do talk about God's timing because, like I said, I find faith. I try to bring around to if you're not with somebody, then it's obviously not the right timing and you're on this path of singleness for a reason. So you might as well enjoy that path, embrace it, and laugh at all the craziness that's happening
true,
to you.
True. I've been processed to books and radio shows.
So much about not having time, but I do address time in kind of a different way.
Right. Well, we all have to do it, but, are they worth taking the time to go out with and sacrifice something else? But
this is a conversation I had other days.
Yeah, and I think, I think for you there is good hope for you because two reasons. One, you're obviously very talented, very attractive. You have a lot going for you. You will be a good catch for somebody. Secondly, you don't own any or allergic cats, so you can't be the cat lady.
Oh, I'm not a cat lady.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't be the old cat lady with
cats.
Cats going around. Hamsters make that up, but
no.
But it's just hope for you. That's all I'm trying to say.
Cats.
Exactly. And to those of you that have cats, don't get offended and start writing into the show because I didn't mean anything bad. Disclaimer. All right. We're still talking about Leah.
In my first interview with Leah, she's looking back at her life because she's older when she's looking back. She's looking back at her high school mom picture and she's reflecting back on how she thought that this guy was the one, and he wasn't. And so I drew on that because, you know, I've done that thing in my own life. I've looked back and thought, oh, God, thank you that didn't work out. It wasn't supposed to. And it just shows us how much he knows that we don't know and how he knows what's going to be good for us in the future and what isn't. So I just really felt it was appropriate for the scenario, and I always love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song. And someday you'll look back and do it. Some of the movies that you referenced are classics. You want to talk about some of the movies that you referenced in the book?
Like the section you're on right now, I'm not sure which ones I mentioned.
Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Driving Crazy, and what's the other one? I forgot.
Well, I mentioned like Breakfast at Tiffany's in the book. And the funny thing about Breakfast at Tiffany's is I have a section about the boy next door. And I'll be honest, that is a section that basically happened to me. So that'll be one thing that I'll admit to people.
Yeah.
That did happen to me. And the really funny Holly, and he was Paul. Well, in Breakfast at Tiffany's, it was a next door neighbor kind of story. It was Holly Golightly and Paul Varjak.
Coincidence?
So it was too cute.
I think.
You know, it was too cute. And he knows that, and if he was listening, he wouldn't even care. But,
yeah.
Like, Breakfast at Tiffany's, I think, is such a classic. I think that there's a lot in that movie that a person can really draw on.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Breakfast Club, I try to mention movies that everybody knows, Pretty Women or Pretty Woman. I wanted people to go, oh, yeah, I know that movie. I know that scenario. So I think that the classics, they just kind of stick.
Mary Met Your Father is another one. You know, I reference all the time anyway.
Right. Kind of look back at those classics. You know, some movies don't have as much staying power to look back at.
I don't remember anything in the last 5 years that were qualified as chick flick. Friends with Benefits, maybe. And,
I think, honestly, the latest chick flick that would really qualify for anything ongoing is The Notebook. And that's been about 10 years ago.
It wasn't that long ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, well. I still haven't seen The Notebook. I still don't know what to do. I know. I like
baseball.
I like baseball. They, you know, but it's, you look at TV shows same way, you know, that are, you know, almost like chick flicks.
Right.
You know, we were referencing, you were talking about the Power of Your Mother.
Yeah.
Did you watch that at all?
No, I didn't.
Didn't watch that? Okay. We won't talk about it. But, you know, ending up, the romantic scene at the end, ending up with the girl who was there at the very beginning. It took 20 years to get there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's just, you know, a lot of different, and everybody has their different, I don't know, different films that they like, their different ways they're going to get to where they're going to be.
How to do that. You know, when you
it's a lot.
Like that.
Do it. That's why we need this. Anyway, apparently we're having some audio problems. Okay. Continuing on, how did you, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the other section that you had talked about.
Universal relationship struggles.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted to
talk about.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, I talk about the time struggle, obviously. I talk about
time or training.
I mean, I think that finding, you know, to that, maybe I didn't get as in-depth in that. I kind of did. But I just talk about, and I talk about peer pressure. Because, you know, we are in a Facebook world these days.
Oh, yeah. Let's remind you of that right now.
You know, just as a single person to look at the news feed, if we read too much into it, we can sit there and really think, wow, I'm behind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I address all that. That's a universal struggle. And I think that there's a lot of people that feel that way. It's not that person shouldn't shout from the rooftop that they're happy, but a single person, we can really look around and compare and just feel a little behind. So I address everything that way that my reader, if they're single, they feel related to.
Right.
It's just kind of I go through a bunch of different things for that section.
So how do you feel? I mean, let's talk about that. How do you feel personally as you see people, you know, through Facebook or through Instagram or whatever social media is out there, that they are wedding this, married this, baby this, and all the stuff that, you know, everybody wants, but they're just tossing it down your throat. Everything they put up. I mean, when do you have time to hang out with the baby or hang out with your new husband or wife?
Right.
When you're online all the time or on your phone all the time. That's what sounds like. Does that bother you at all?
Well, to be honest, like if I see, you know, people getting married and having babies, I mean, honestly, I'm happy for people. I think that it gives me hope because maybe I've known that person's story and maybe they had a hard time getting there and they got there. But at the same time, it depends on who it is because there are some people, and there's an example in my book. I don't want to give too much away, but I just kind of talk about how some people pour on the sugar so thick that it actually does get disgusting because you're sitting there thinking, you know, you have to type a status every, you know, 5 minutes about how wonderful your fiance is, but I know differently. I know some really, you and some people think it's a TMI thing. They get too much info, and I'm like, ooh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's more of a, I'm happy for people, but some people do get to an extent where it gets a little disgusting, and then you do start to question the legitimacy of that relationship.
Well, and your relationship with that person, too, you know?
Right.
So, it's a little interesting. All right, guys, I'm going to do something real quick. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. I am going to – we're having some difficulty with audio. I'm going to dial us in, so I will be right back. Please bear with me. Hang in there. We'll be right there.
To start your show now, press 1.
It appears that the host has already dialed into the show. Only one host is allowed per show. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Okay, we are back. Sorry about that. Hopefully that sounds better. Let me find out from our folks in the chat room. If you're online, do join us in the chat room. And if you have some questions for Holly, bring it on. So, anyway, okay, we are back. We're going to be by phone now. Apparently we're having some internet issues and everybody can hear better. So we have some folks in the chat room that are very happy now. So we might repeat ourselves a little bit this last 15 or 20 minutes.
That's okay.
So apologies. It's hard to know when the internet's not running good or if there's a technical issue, and we'll get it taken care of. So, okay, back with Holly Tong, author of Chick Flicks Live, Sugar-Free Accounts of a Positive Pessimist, and we're talking about pessimism. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Okay? Pessimism is the opposite of optimism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be positive and to be, you know, looking forward to the future. But positive pessimism can be called optimism, right?
Right.
Is that the way you look at it?
Yes. When I wrote this book, basically the way I'm coming at it is, you know, I am skeptical of dating. I am. Like, you know, I'm very careful. So basically I lay out in the beginning of the book what I mean by positive pessimist in this case. A positive pessimist, I feel like they're smart. They don't cross the line without looking both ways. You know, they're careful. But they're also incredibly positive in it. They know that it's going to be okay, single or taken, you know, kids or no kids. They know that life's going to be okay. And a positive pessimist knows where they've been. They can look back and they know that it's not been good, but they find a way to laugh about all
right.
of it. And so my point is, yeah, you know what? My dating life has not been a walk in the park, but gosh, has it been funny.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I've looked at my own life and thought, gosh, this could be a movie, just not a chick flick.
Right.
You know, and it's funny. I'll talk to my little sister. We'll crack up laughing. You know, I've just had great conversations, and people will be like, is this for real? You need a reality show, sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were on a camera.
Because my scenarios have been so crazy that I've become a positive pessimist. Instead of hating everything that's happened to me, I've grown to just think, you know, this is funny.
Yeah.
So,
and that's kind of the way you have to look at it. You have to just kind of brush it off and, you know, move on. And I always say, you know, take something away. Don't take it too seriously because, you know, you take something away from it. You learn something good or bad or ugly from the last, you know, person that you were around, and it teaches you for the next one.
Yeah.
And I say that quite often to the point that everybody's sick of me saying it. So
yeah.
I'm not saying it. But But it is very important to have a focus on where you want to end up and don't compromise yourself for the sake of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
I agree.
Yay. Well, okay, we agree on something today. Awesome.
No, you're absolutely right.
So back to the book. Again, the book is called Chick Flicks Lie, Sugar-Free Accounts of a Positive Pessimist. The you have a title for the sequel yet?
I've had ideas. I have had ideas. I don't want to share it yet, but yes, I've had ideas. And it's a funny title again. I just think that's my style, have some humor in it. I can't imagine writing too seriously. So this is lighthearted, but, I mean, it's got some depth to it, though.
Like, you actually talk about real date experiences?
A little bit.
Not just with Leah, through Leah, but your own?
Not too much in my own.
Okay.
That's where I kind of draw the line.
You don't want to get other people
but
in trouble.
But since I do write from Holly's perspective sometimes, I mean, you are going to find out a little bit about how I view things or how things have bothered me. So, yeah, you're going to be in my shoes a little bit, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna ask you something that we didn't even talk about in prepping for this.
Great.
I know, right?
Tricked me.
Tell us, share with us, if you will, the worst date you ever had. Can you think of one?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is honestly.
And it can prefer to be the funniest date too, but it doesn't always work out that way, you know.
You know, I think any date where a guy considers taking me to a bar and then getting completely drunk and then having me drive him home, I think that's a terrible date always.
Yeah.
And there's maybe not a lot of humor in that except that he makes an idiot out of himself. But
and we probably expect sex then too, right?
Yeah, and that's not
on
happening.
The first date?
No, that ain't happening.
When he's hammered, that makes a lot of sense.
No. But, yeah, I've had that happen. And, I've had a lot of good dates, though. See, that's the thing. I mean, it's the after the dates. It's the ongoing. It's the post dates. But there's nothing that stands out really as just this awkward, horrible date. Because if I say yes to a date, I have an idea that I probably am going to like that person.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of who I even say yes to, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah.
So if I went out with him, most of the time the first date is decent. Now I have had a best date of my life. But, as far as the worst ones, it's definitely been this guy has this idea to just get drunk, and no, I don't consider that a date. I mean, that's not acceptable.
So your judgment is not 100% perfect, I guess, right? If he's on the date going out and getting hammered in front of you and all that, that's not great judgment, I guess, right?
See, I was able to, this is when, it all kind of started when I was a little younger with this particular person that I'm talking about.
Right.
So... You know, I'm not stupid. I mean, I can tell. But I let my heart kind of get in the way with that person.
Right.
There was a lot of things about him that really attracted me. And he was hard for me to get over. Mm-hmm. And so I accepted maybe what I shouldn't for quite a while.
Right.
I let myself have a lot of dates that way.
But
that
you learned from
sense.
That, didn't you?
I really learned from that. And that's
why
I'm sitting here right now. And that's why I'm an author now. So.
Right. And why we're sitting here talking on my cell phone.
Yeah.
So everybody can hear. Everybody's sounding good now, right? Okay, and you talk about, let's talk about, I mean, the theme of my show a lot is romance and getting, getting that back into society a little bit. We want to be able to do that. We want to be able to woo each other. We want to be able to, just go back to, as Laura said in the chat room, go back to the 50s.
Yeah.
The way it used to be. And, give some ideas, and it's kind of getting away from the book a little bit, but we'll get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Some ways that you, some romantic things you enjoy, you would like to see people, our friend Claudia, who's been on the last couple of times, she's all about chocolate-covered eggs and socks. Okay,
yeah.
What woos Holly?
You mean
get
like,
your secrets out.
What kind of a date could a guy give
you? Yeah, or a romantic gesture or something like that you would like.
I mean,
maybe something you've not ever had done before.
I mean, I like the classic red roses. I mean, I'm pretty simple. I like chocolate.
Yeah, red
like,
roses are not simple, dear.
Honestly, I think after what I've been through, and it's the reason that I wrote this because I had to laugh at everything, I'm so simple that honestly, I wouldn't care if a guy picked a few wildflowers and brought them to me. I don't think that's the sweetest thing in the world. I'm such a simple girl when it comes down to it, and I think it's just because I'm so appreciative of anything.
Right.
Any guy that's going to open up the door for me and just treat me with respect, and you know, pay a compliment to me or something. I'm just those simple things really make me feel special.
So for you,
I'm not
necessarily, it's not necessarily what it is, but it's making the effort.
Yeah, it's making the effort. It's coming to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the guy that asks me to drive to him or something. I mean, it just kind of shows me from the get-go, you know, maybe you're not that invested in me.
Right.
Maybe I'm not that special to you.
Right.
And it's just little gestures. I really don't need a person to spend a lot of money on me. I just need to know that they care about
right.
me. And there's little ways.
Right. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the difference between impressing a woman and romancing a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, impressing a woman or trying to impress a woman, especially one that doesn't need to be impressed,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, spending a lot of money on dinner and going
right.
really big, you know, high-dollar things on her that she can do herself.
Yeah.
If she wants to or whatever, versus doing a simple gesture like,
mm-hmm.
you know, a wildflowers or something.
That's going
like
to win me over a lot quicker than simple.
I think it'll win a lot of women over.
Because I've dated the trust fund baby.
Yeah.
That didn't win me over. I mean, you don't need to talk to me about your money all the time because I grew up simple and I'm careful with my money. And so I really, you know, to just tell me that you just wasted all this money or you're just throwing all this money around, that's
mm-hmm.
a big turnoff to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a guy that's going to impress me with his material goods, this is my house, this is my car, and they just talk about how great they are all the
mm-hmm.
time. If you got to talk about how great you are, you're probably not.
Right.
So I like to be romanced in a simple way, and it might not cost a dime.
Right.
You know, if you're over the top with trying to impress me, I'm not going to be impressed.
There's a lot of poor men out there listening that are very happy to hear that. So.
Yeah. I have no problem. Like, a guy does not have to be rich. I mean,
right.
I, you know. Very simple.
No sugar daddies for Holly.
No, I mean, of course it doesn't hurt if a guy is well established and does well. I mean, we all like that, but that's not, that's honestly never been the first thing that I've thought about ever.
Yeah, just don't flaunt it.
Please don't flaunt it.
Yeah, don't flaunt, don't, you know, because nobody's impressed.
There's nothing wrong with being successful.
Right.
And if we have that conversation eventually, I'm going to be proud of you. But don't flaunt it and don't be an idiot with money. I don't want to find out you got bad credit or something, you know, stuff like that.
Trust
because I'm very
down,
picky
that, yeah.
about, you know,
yeah.
all that. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else you want to add about the book before we get to wrapping up a little?
Well, you know, it's just lighthearted. It's like I said, it's not a how-to book. It's just it's designed to make people laugh. I think we're living in a messed up dating world right now, I think more than ever. And I think people just honestly want to feel understood. And I don't really feel like there's a book out there that says, look, this is what really happened.
Yeah.
Hollywood says this, real life says this. And so, and it's a clean book. Like I said, I wasn't going to write about a character that has all these one-night stands and all this craziness. I wasn't going to put a bunch of curse words in it. I would consider it PG. You know, I think it's clean. But another fun thing about it, too, is I do write from the faith perspective because, you know, I am a Christian. My faith is the most important thing to me, and I did not want to leave that out of the book. But I'm also an imperfect Christian, and I have no problem admitting that. So in the book, readers are going to kind of find out no one's perfect. And so Leah's a lot like me in the sense of she'll go to church, and she's trying to take in that verse, and she's trying to do the right thing. But, you know, if somebody's just screwed her over, she's not always going to have the best thought. You know, she's going to be a little mad. She might not always say the right thing. You know, maybe not going to always date the right guy. That bad guy might attract her a little bit. She's an imperfect girl with real struggles that tries to do the right thing.
Right.
And she gets frustrated. So I feel like it just comes from a very real place. And I hope people like it, and they like where I came from it. It's just all for fun, and I don't want anybody to get bent out of shape over anything, but it is sugar-free accounts, and so it's definitely, you know, not sugar-coated. It's straightforward.
So it's good for you.
Yeah, I feel like it's a feel-good book.
Yeah.
I feel like it's laughable. So, I mean, I kind of laughed at my own stuff, and I really, I'm my own worst critic.
What I read was very laughable, so very chuckleable. Is that a word?
Chuckable. I like it.
Chuckleable.
We can invent a new word.
We just did.
Yeah.
So, good. So a couple questions coming in. Do women basically know that chick flicks are unrealistic, in your opinion? Do women think that?
I think most of the time that women do know that at the core. But one thing I cover is women, okay, like a lot of the chick flicks, the nice guy always wins, or the bad boy turns into the good boy.
Mm-hmm.
That is a part right there that I think I had to be careful with.
Right.
The movies show, you know, the bad boy just becomes this good boy, and he started out all bad, but by the end of the movie, he's all about one woman. He's volunteering in soup kitchens. And I'm always like,
are you watching?
Yeah, well, I'm always like, where's the two-year follow-up?
Yeah.
Where he relapses, or he's not a good guy again, or he's cheating on you. Ghost of Girlfriend's Past was the one I thought about. Like,
oh, yeah.
Matthew McConaughey,
yeah.
You know, ladies' man, then he commits to one girl. You don't want to get wrapped up in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think for me, storylines like that, I kind of had to watch myself. Because, you know, but I think women do deep down know, but if we immerse ourselves in them too much, you can kind of start setting the bar a little higher than it needs to go, maybe.
Well, I think chick flicks are made for happy endings.
They are.
They all have happy endings.
Right.
You know, I don't know that I can't think of any off the top of my head, and you can, that ended with the couple not getting together.
Yeah, there's very few.
Or yeah, and then they're not really chick flicks. They turn into guy flicks.
Yeah, as I
point.
Said, maybe like 5% or,
yeah,
you
maybe.
Know.
But chick flicks are made by Hollywood and anywhere else that makes them to make people feel good.
Right.
Okay, I mean,
there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong
with
it.
It's a little bit of a false serving of hope, but there's nothing wrong with it.
But, you know, I mean, you know, you mentioned Pretty Woman earlier, and you mentioned, you know, a couple of the high school movies, Breakfast Club and 16 Candles. But, you know, I mean, let's flash back to 16 Candles very, very quickly.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Everybody remembers that movie?
Yeah.
Where Molly Ringwald and the other guy got together at the end. Well, let's flash forward 10 years. Where are they? Are they still married? Are they still together even? Did they get married? Did they have kids? You know, nobody ever thinks about that. That's high school.
That's what I write about
high school
in the book.
Sweethearts still stay together.
That's what I write about in the book. When those credits roll, we walk away just assuming that that couple's together forever.
Right.
But what I'm, you know, my point is in real life, we don't see the later. We just see the happily ever after. In real life, there's so much more work to do than that conclusion that we see at the end.
Right.
Like maybe they decided to make a long-distance relationship work and they're in different continents or whatever. Well, in real life, there's a lot more work left.
Oh, long-distance relationships.
So they make you think it's just all good, and maybe it's not in real life.
And
so,
I mean, long-distance now, I mean, I don't know how people did it before Skype. I don't know how people do it after Skype.
Right.
You know, or modern technology and all that. So, yeah, there's an upcoming episode of It's Not Me, It's You about long-distance relationships and how pretty much they suck.
Yeah.
So, but we'll try to fill that in with some people who have had those before.
Oh, I've had those.
Oh,
yeah. I've had multiple.
Yeah.
There's a joke in my book, not all my exes live in Texas, but I do have, like, one there, and then I've got some in different states. So I have done a lot of long-distance relationships, and they are not my friends.
So
I do cover that.
Which is why you and I are sitting here as single people.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's said there. All right, well, we're going to wrap up tonight. So thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
And again, Holly Tong, author extraordinaire. We'll do our British accent. Papa extraordinaire.
Yes.
Chick Flicks Live, Sugar-Free Accounts of a Positive Pessimist. You can find Holly on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Where else? Where else can I find you?
Well, on Facebook, I have the personal page, and then I have the – I've created a page just called Chick Flicks Live. And you
That's
can,
the one you want to go for.
Yeah, Chick Flicks Live. And you can actually find me on Twitter. My handle is Holly Marie Tong, all is one word, HollyMarieTong. And I have a website and different things like that, but I would say Twitter and Facebook is probably the easiest way to find me.
We tweet and we book. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. So look for Holly's book coming out in the next three, four weeks maybe?
Yeah, there's a few things I've got to do.
Okay.
But
where do you plan on being available at?
It's going to be available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the Author House website, the publisher that I use.
Okay.
So, at least three places, maybe more.
And if I know Holly the way I know Holly now, 5 years, you'll be hearing all about it through social media when it's out. And as soon as it comes out and available, it will also be on the itsnotmeradio.com website under the book section. There's the other books that we have had, the authors on the show. So check there if nothing else. So thank you, Holly.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we are going to wrap up tonight. Please join us next Thursday. I want to give shout-outs to Regime Entertainment for continued sponsorship of It's Not Me, It's You. And check out the website, itsnotmeradio.com, also Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on there as well. See you next Thursday night. Again, we're going to end tonight with Jimmy White and the song The Story of My Life from the Regime catalog. Everybody have a great evening and peace out.
I want to make your morning coffee, even learn to scramble eggs, and cut my face because you used my razor on your legs. And when the cop tells me to move, I'll say I'm waiting for my wife. I want you to write the story of my life. I want to buy your girly stuff, embarrassed at the store, and take you on a date and wait for you and hold the door. And when the guys say let's go out, I'll say I'll check it with my wife. I want you to write the story of my life. I've been looking all my life, always on my own, but in your eyes I found the only truth I've ever known. Everything I ever wanted, it's right here in your smile. Without you I'm an inch, but with you I'm a mile. Walking down the street and kiss you when I want to and sweep you off your feet. And when they ask where'd this couch go, I'll say I have to ask my wife. I want you to write the story of my life. I want you to write the story of my life. I want you to write the story of my life.